looking at the songs sung over the Christmas period, written by people who were involved in this story, and the responses of people to the songs of the angel. Tonight, I have entitled my message, The Christmas Message. And in a way, I want to ask the question, what is the message of Christmas? And for a focus tonight, I want us to go back to that reading that I took, the second reading in this evening's service, which was in Luke chapter 1. And it's the words of Zechariah, an old priest who had got to a point in life where he thought he and his wife would never have children, and yet God answered their prayers. And after the child was born, Zechariah sang this song to the praise of our God. And I want us to focus in particular on verses 76 and 77. We'll read 76 through to 79. A new child will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of God. Into the way of peace. So tonight, the question, what is the Christmas message? Well, first of all, I want to make the point that it is a message from God. There, in our reading, we are told about the tender mercy of God in verse 78. We live in a secular society. In fact, I would want to say that because of the number of folk coming to our country, we live in a multi-religious society. People want to say that we are a secular society. But people have got this idea that all gods are the same. I was involved in a conversation just recently, and a lady said that to me. But when Zechariah sings this song, he talks about our God. He doesn't talk about one of our gods. He doesn't talk about the gods of the Romans or of the Greeks, who had a powerful influence in the days when the New Testament was written. He doesn't talk about the gods of some of the religions that we have today, who would claim to have hundreds of gods. No, he talks about our God. And who is the Christian God? Well, the Christian God is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the creator of the world. He is also the judge of the world. In one of the carols that we have sung this evening, we sang in Sea Amid the Winter Snow, the one who built the starry sky. This is our God. He is the creator God. He is the ruling God. But when Zechariah is singing about this God, he talks about his tender mercy in verse 78 there, because of the tender mercy of our God. So the Christmas message is a message from God, but it is also a tender message. It is a message of mercy. And this is the second thing that I want to emphasize about the Christmas message. It is a message of mercy. The false gods all want to claim that they are the power of this world, that they have power over people, that they can crush people. Well, that is the reality of our God. If he chose to do so, he could crush anyone. And we live in a world. We live in a country that at the moment is sadly vindictive. When somebody makes a mistake, there is no mercy. They are often hounded. They are almost condemned before justice is exercised. I was encouraged just recently listening to a radio program as I was driving along, and this lady was relating some horrible things that she had been through earlier in her life. And she said, "I'm not a victim, I'm a survivor." Now, she'd been through difficult things, but she wasn't going to emphasize what others had done to her, but she was emphasizing that she had come through it. The message of Christmas is a message of mercy. Now, what is mercy? Well, in fact, mercy is being dealt with in a way that we don't deserve. The justice of God says that we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The justice of God says that the wages of sin is death. But the message of Christmas says there is mercy with God. Because God is not dealing with humanity. God is not dealing with any of us here tonight in a way that we deserve to be dealt with. One of Jesus' disciples wrote a couple of letters, in fact three letters, in the New Testament and one of the Gospels. And in his letter he writes this very short but powerful statement: God is love. Our God wants us to hear at Christmas a message of mercy. He's holy, he's righteous, he's just, he's powerful. But he's patient. He wants to correct us. He wants to show us where we have gone wrong. He has every right to be to condemn us. But he is saying, "I want to be merciful." Christmas is a tender story, isn't it? It's about babies. It's about poverty. It is about weakness. God could have burst on the world in glory, but he didn't. He sent a little child. No one is threatened by a child, are they? Well, I suppose if I was to talk to some of our young parents tonight, they might say, "I feel threatened. Every night he wakes me up." But a child physically is no threat to us. And this is how God came into the world. A God of tender mercy. So it's a Christmas message. It's a message from God. It's a message of mercy. But it's a message that saves. If we go back a little bit in our reading to verse 77, it says to give knowledge of salvation to his people. I remember when I was converted as a teenager. I'd been brought up to go to chapel. I'd sung all these different hymns. But I can remember immediately after I was converted, understanding certain words. And one of the words that I understood was the word salvation. I hadn't understood it before that. It was just a religious word. But the word salvation means that God is working out his purposes to save his people. Christmas says to us that God wants to save people. Not only does he want to save them, but he wants them to know that they are saved. And here Zechariah talks about the knowledge of salvation. I talk to people on some occasions, and I say to them, "Well, do you know that you're saved?" "Well, I would like to think that I'm saved. I hope that God will save me." Now, Zechariah is saying, Jesus has come. My son is going to prepare so that people can know that they are saved. the Lord Jesus Christ, when he grew up, became a man of 30, he went about preaching. And he became a very popular preacher until he started saying to people, you need to repent. You need to stop relying on your religion. You need to turn away from your pride. You need to put your trust in me. And on one occasion, we are told that many people turned away from him. And Jesus then turned to his 12 disciples, and he said to them, will you also go away? And Peter, one of his disciples, turned to him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Peter knew that he had been saved. There was a man in John 9 who had been born blind. And people, sadly, they brought this man forward and they said to Jesus, who sinned, him or his parents? Jesus opened the eyes of the man. And people were still arguing. And they said to this man who had been blind, tell us, is this man a sinner? Is Jesus a sinner? And the blind man said, I don't know. But what I can tell you is once I was blind, but now I can see. He knew that something had happened, something had changed in his life. This morning, Gareth was preaching to us, and he emphasized the fact that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He didn't do it as the tender baby at Christmas time. He didn't do it when he was a great preacher on the Sermon on the Mount. He didn't do it when he was working miracles and healing people. No, the story which began so tenderly ended so brutally. We've just sung, haven't we? Through the kisses of a friend's betrayal, he was lifted on a cruel cross. He was punished for a world's transgression. He was suffering to save the lost. Friends, do you realize that the message of Christmas is a message, the only message that can save you? When Jesus died on the cross, he suffered the judgment of God in the place of those who will believe. So it's a message from God. It's not Bernard Lewis's message. It's a message of mercy. It's a message that saves. And fourthly, it's the message that forgives. If you look in verse 77, to give the knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. One of the biggest problems of our society and of human nature generally is the problem of regret. Why did I do that? Why did I say that? I wish I could turn the clock back. I often say to people in this technological age, if you're upset by a message from somebody, don't press the send button. Because you'll often write something out. Right, I got that off my chest. It goes. And you think, oh, what have I done? Let me ask you tonight, friends. Don't think about technology. But is there anybody here tonight could put up their hand and say, I have got no regrets? None of us can we? We have all got regrets. We've all failed. We failed our own standards. We have fallen short of the standards of God. But I have got a message for you tonight. because of Christmas. There is forgiveness. Your sins can be forgiven. Your sins can be wiped out. Why? Because the babe of Bethlehem, who was the eternal Son of God, came into this world to forgive sins. A prophet who lived many years, hundreds of years before Jesus, recorded this message: I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more. Jesus said when he was here on earth, the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins. The night that Jesus was born, an angel spoke and said that there could be peace on earth. A former enemy of Jesus, who had persecuted him, was converted, and he trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he was writing to some believers in Rome, he said this: we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why did he write that? He had persecuted Christians. He had been willing to kill Christians. Why could he write that? Because our God, the God of the Bible, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is a tender God. He is a merciful God. And he sent his Son into the world to save the world through the forgiveness of their sins. Let me ask you tonight, friends, do you believe that? Do you have the assurance of that salvation? Do you have the assurance of that forgiveness? You can have it, not by religious effort, but by believing the promise that God made clear at Christmas, and which he continues to make clear until that day when his Son will return and take all his people to be with him. I pray that this Christmas you will know the peace of Christmas in the forgiveness of sins and the salvation of your soul. Amen.